The 6888 is an award-winning documentary that tells the story of the only all-black female unit to serve overseas during World War II. The women of the 6888th Central Postal Directory Battalion trained at Fort Oglethorpe, Georgia, before shipping out in February 1945 to serve in Birmingham, England, and Paris. Next Thursday, the documentary will be screened on this campus, the University of Tennessee at Chattanooga, starting at 3 p.m. in the University Center Auditorium. Chris McKeever is Executive Director of the 6th Cavalry Museum in Fort Oglethorpe, one of the sponsors, along with UTC, of the documentary's premiere here in Chattanooga. Chris, thanks for joining us.
Oh, thank you for having me.
Tell me when you first learned about this battalion.
Well, it was about 8 months ago. A husband and wife from North Carolina came and sought out the museum, the 6th Cavalry Museum in Fort Oglethorpe. And they told the story of their neighbor, Edna Cummings, who helped produce a documentary about the 6888 Central Postal Directory Battalion for World War II. And she wanted to see what the museum had on display relating to the 6888. And we didn't have anything on display. And she went on to tell me that the 6888 was an all-black Women's Army Corps unit. And they came to Fort Oglethorpe and received their overseas training before they were sent to Europe in 1945.
All black and all female.
All black, all female. And they also had all black and all female officers, which all of your other black Women's Army Corps units had white officers at the time.
During World War II, the armed forces of the United States were segregated.
Yes, they were. And of course, before there ever was the city of Fort Oglethorpe, there was the Army post at Fort Oglethorpe. And so from 1902 through 1947, there was an active Army post in the area now, which is the city of Fort Oglethorpe. And we had the 3rd Women's Army Corps Training Center, which was the largest in the country. And so your typical training is for 6 weeks. And so thousands of women came through and were trained at Fort Oglethorpe, African American and white as well. And then when it came time to pull together the 6888, women were sent to Fort Oglethorpe to make up that 855 women from all over the country. And so it was very much women from the east, the west, up north, down south. And so it was just a very diverse group of African-American women who found themselves together doing their overseas training in Fort Oglethorpe.
And where they were deployed, it was toward the end of the war, England.
Yes, Birmingham, England. And so the what makes the 6888 so unique is that they were the only all-black WAC unit sent over for Europe.
Women's Army Corps.
Women's Army Corps for World War II. They were the only ones that were sent over. And the Army, of course, as you said, was segregated at the time. And their point was the reason the black Women's Army Corps units had not been sent over is that they had not been requested. And they hid behind that for years. But Eleanor Roosevelt was very much a proponent of the African-American women getting their fair share. And so 10% of the Women's Army Corps total that could be soldiers during that time period, 10% had to be African-American. And she stuck to her guns and had other famous people helping her with that. And these ladies were selected. They had to be approved to come in, and they were sent over to Birmingham, England, because the mail hadn't been delivered to the soldiers for years. And so they took on the motto, no mail, low morale. And they went over to Birmingham, England. They were there for just 3 months. And during that time, between there and when they ended up in France for 3 more months, they identified and got delivered 17 million pieces of mail.
And these were pieces of mail that were for the soldiers fighting on continental Europe.
Yes. And at the time, you know, in today's world, oh, you look them up on the internet and life is good. You go on your tablet and you put in your change of address and everybody knows what it is. Well, back then everything was done by paper. So you have soldiers that are fighting a world war, and probably the lowest thing, especially if they're engaged in combat, is, oh, I need to fill out a change of address and send it so that I get my mail. So these women were faced with 17 million pieces of mail, and there were no APO or FPO addresses back then. And so it might say Jim Smith, U.S. Army. Well, there were, 7,500 Jim Smiths in the Army for World War II. And so you had to find that one that matched that envelope and that letter. And it was just a huge undertaking. And the ladies knew that all eyes would be upon them, and that this was their chance to show that they belonged in the Army and that they belonged to the patriotic mood that was across the country. And they wanted to go over there and prove to everybody that even though they were African American and were not as accepted as they should have been at that time period, they went over there and did a heck of a job. And they got through all that mail in 6 months' time.
And they had to adjust to life in Birmingham, England, at a time where the British Empire was still very much the British Empire.
Yes. And when they got over to Europe, they were accepted far better in Europe than they ever were here at home. We have instances of them, Charity Adams, who was the colonel, she was the commanding officer, she and her other black female officers, they go to the officers' club in Fort Oglethorpe for dinner. Well, that's what you do. You're an officer, you go to the officers' club for dinner. And in her book, she talks about how they were totally looked past and they were told to go sit over there. And, oh, we don't have tables, you know, we won't be able to feed you dinner, that type of thing, because they did not want African-American female officers in the all-white Army Officers Club. And she said that they were not leaving, and they waited for hours. And finally, the staff at the Officers Club figured out that we're going to have to seat them, we're going to have to feed them. And it is just such a touching way to see these women who left their families, left their careers, left their education, whatever they gave up to be part of the Army to help in World War II, to see how poorly they were treated right here at Fort Oglethorpe. I did not expect to read that. It just was a very eye-opening experience for me.
After their service, were they properly recognized and then forgotten, or were they not properly recognized to begin with?
From what I've been told in the different things that I've read, the women came back. A lot of them made good use of the GI Bill and bettered themselves. But as for their unit being identified for breaking not only the female barrier, but also the African-American barrier in World War II, they were never recognized. And that is why the push is to have them receive the Congressional Gold Medal for their service during World War II.
Because by the time they had completed their service, Eleanor Roosevelt was no longer First Lady. Franklin Roosevelt had died in office.
Right. The war was over. The women were glad to get home. Many of them stayed in the Army. Many of them did not. And there's all kinds of, I think what brought a lot of attention to them is with the Greatest Generation and the all of the anniversaries of World War II. And as our World War II soldiers are passing, a lot more attention is brought to bear. And so stories and newspaper articles came to be done. And all of a sudden, this is a fascinating story that we as Americans need to know. And our kids need to know this story. And that's why the museum was so excited to be a part of it.
Tell us more about the documentary.
The documentary, we're so excited that the University of Tennessee at Chattanooga is going to show it for us. Brewer Media has stepped in to help with it. And of course, stations like yours that help promote it. We had the opportunity to show the documentary and to bring the executive director, James Theris, and one of the producers is retired Army Colonel Edna Cummings. And so we're going to show the documentary on February 13th at 3 o'clock in the University Center. And following that, there will be a panel discussion. And so questions will be asked of Jim and Edna. We also have Beverly Foster, who is the president of the Walker County, Georgia African American Association, and Brian Autry from the Chattanooga and Chickamauga National Military Park. He's one of their interpretive rangers, and he has spent a lot of time studying up and learning the history of the 6888.
And you talked earlier about how we're hearing stories from the last of the greatest generation, and it's important to record those stories while they can still be told by the people who live them. And that applies here to the women of the 6888 and the African American community in Chattanooga and the Tennessee Valley.
Very much so. And we have a list. There's a Facebook page for the 6888, and they have compiled all the women that they know of from each of the states and where they served from. And so we went on and looked up the states closest to us. Georgia had 42 women listed, Tennessee had 11, and Alabama had 25. And we would love to hear from any 6888 family members who can remember the stories that their mother, their aunt, their grandmother might have told. If they have any letters or mementos or artifacts from when they served in the 6888, we will be doing a static display at the museum to bring attention to the 6888 and to become a part of our school day program that we teach to fifth graders.
And where can people go online for more information about the museum, including how to contact you?
We have a wonderful website. It is 6calvarymuseum.org. And of course, our sixth is the number 6, T-H. Cavalry is spelled militarily, which is C-A-V-A-L-R-Y, museum.org. And our phone number is 706-861-2860.
All right, Chris, thanks so much.
Thank you.